What's up, guys? Welcome to episode 49 of the Think Computers Weekly Tech Podcast, where we hang out, talk about tech in the morning. It's Friday morning, really tired today for some reason. With me, as always, I have Derek with me. Are you tired?
Not like you, Bob. I think I'm doing a little bit better.
Yeah, I know. I have no clue why I'm tired. It might be the snow. I'm not sure what it is.
Getting some seasonal depression or something going on?
I don't know. I think.
Yeah.
I need to get out of this this cold weather, I think.
Yeah. You should move.
Yeah, that's the... I know I need to. It would be much better if I moved, I think.
For sure.
Yeah. But, yes... But we're going to get through the cold. Is it cold up there? I mean, do you have a lot of snow, or...
No. This has been, like, the easiest winter. I can't complain one bit.
Yeah. It was nice yesterday. The sun was out, and all the snow melted. And then I woke up, and then now there's snow on the ground again, so...
But it'll probably be gone tomorrow, you know, so...
Yeah, hopefully. Yeah, I mean, I really can't complain either. We had, like, that one little... I don't know what you want to call it. I mean, it was about, like, a foot of snow, and that was it. And
like then, last week?
Yeah, they had that, like, everybody thought the world was going to end.
Yeah.
And now it's just kind of normal, you know. So I really can't complain about it. I mean, we've had times where there was, like, 3 feet of snow and you couldn't do anything.
Yeah, like snow for days.
Yeah.
And then it never goes away.
Yeah.
The only one depressing thing I have is that last year at this time I was flying to Jamaica, so...
Oh, yeah, you did go on that trip. I remember that.
I could be a little better off than I am now, but, I mean, really, it's okay.
Yeah.
Next year.
I think you'll weather the storm.
Yeah, I'll be okay.
But let's jump right into reviews this week, and we have four awesome products this week, and we'll start out with your review...
Sure.
Which was an all-in-one liquid CPU cooler, which is the Silverstone TD-02 Slim.
Right. So we recently checked out both the TD-02 and TD-03Es, which are the more performance-oriented versions of Silverstone's newest AIOs. And they were really, really nice. They were built really well. Performance wasn't that fantastic on them, unfortunately. But this is essentially the same. There's a few differences. The biggest difference is that, obviously, it's a slim version, so the radiator and the fans are, like, ultra-thin. I don't think even together they're as thick as the radiator on the E versions. They're a couple of the thinnest that I've ever worked with. I'm pretty sure they're the thinnest we've ever used at ThinkComputer, so that's pretty cool. And I'm not usually impressed by that sort of thing, but, like, when it's as small as they were, it's like, this just disappears into your case. It's like, it just hides itself. And on top of that, it gives you tons of clearance. Like, with the 240 version, with the one I tested this past week, like, you got to mount that on the top most of the time. And that means problems with RAM clearance, possibly your CPU power clearance, or the heat spreaders on your VRM. So... having a slim version in certain cases can be really, really helpful. The other big difference between this one and the E version is that the E version, the pump housing was like all metal, and this one it's plastic, and the LED lighting is a little bit different. So that was actually a little bit disappointing to me. I would have preferred the metal. But as far as performance went, this one actually seemed to do a little bit better. I think... the temperatures were actually really similar to the E version, and being that it's a much thinner radiator with fans at the same speeds, it actually did pretty well. So yeah, it's right there with the E version pretty much. So to me, maybe that metal pump housing is actually causing it to not dissipate heat as well, so maybe the plastic version is better. But as far as looks and build quality are concerned, I do prefer the E version.
Yeah, these seem really great for, like, a really small form factor build. You know, a lot Absolutely. Of people are building smaller systems, and there's only so much room. And even if a case does support, say, like, a 240-millimeter radiator, if you want to do a push-pull or something like that, you really can't in a lot of cases. You know, and even most radiators, they won't fit. You'll have those clearance issues, or you'll have to... you know, it's going to be hard to take your RAM out or something like that.
Exactly.
So
I think you could have thrown another pair of these thin fit, the slim fans in there in push pull in any case almost, and still had it fit. So
yeah, so that's what's great about this. And I, you know, you are gonna sacrifice some performance, but at the same time, you're gonna have much better performance than say an air cooler, and a lot less. You're gonna take up a lot less space, I think, too. So
yeah, absolutely.
So
because you're not gonna fit the big performance air coolers in a small form factor build, anyways. It's just not gonna happen.
Yeah,
too tall.
Yeah, it's just not gonna happen. So that's really cool for Silverstone to do. It's surprising that we don't see more of these slimmer ones out there.
Yeah, it really is. I don't think we've done one, have we? This has to be the first.
Yeah, I think this.
Everything else is really performance oriented.
Yeah. Which makes sense, but
yeah, definitely, because you get this so that you can do things like overclocking and stuff.
Yeah, but at the same time, I feel there is a market for this.
Absolutely, and we still got to do some mild overclocking on it. It still passed our full test. It was pretty warm, but it still passed the full test. So, yeah,
I mean, I just think this is great, and we see a lot of these really small form factor builds. A lot of them, you know, do have room for 240mm radiators, but they just don't fit a lot of the time. So this is perfect for that. I really like that. And, of course, Silverstone does have pretty good fit and finish on their products, too. So,
yeah, for sure. The hardware is probably the best of anyone.
Yeah, so that's awesome.
Yep.
So moving on to one of my reviews. I took a look at a really cool product, the Vantech Nexstar MX. And this is a dual 2.5-inch hard drive enclosure, but it's a RAID enclosure, so you can do JBOD, RAID 0, and RAID 1, or you can use each drive individually inside of there.
Oh, really?
And it's a cool little thing, because I think that a lot of people these days are coming to the point where they have a couple extra SSDs laying around, and this is a perfect device for that. So it's USB 3.0, so you're going to have really fast transfer speeds, and it's great because you can set up, you know, a RAID array and have data redundancy very easily. You know, a lot of people, it is a little bit difficult to set up RAID inside of your case. A lot of people just don't know how to do it. You have to mess with the software and do all that. With this, it's really easy. It's like a set of DIP switches that you set so you can set the RAID mode, and you're pretty much good to go. It's external, too, so if I'm a photographer and I want to have data redundancy on the photos that I'm taking, I can take this with me. It doesn't take up a lot of space, you know, and it's just great. It's a great little device. I think that it fits the needs of a lot of people just for the fact that, you know, again, so many people are getting rid of those 240 gig, you know, 120, 240 gig hard drives. And, you know, if you want something that you can back up important information and you can have data redundancy, this is the perfect device to do it. And it's not going to cost you a lot because if you already have the drives, all you're buying is the enclosure.
Yeah, so, absolutely. It's a lot smaller than I actually thought it was going to be.
Yeah.
Your pictures, so.
When I took it out of the box, I was like, wow, this thing's so small. Because it's basically, there's room inside for the two hard drives, you know?
Yeah, yeah. It's a really, really unique mounting system, too. It's really cool.
Yeah, so it works really great. Again, fast transfer speeds. Didn't have any really issues with it at all. It's really easy to set the RAID mode. You know, great instructions from Vantech. So just a perfect little device. I really can't say anything bad about it, you know?
Nice. And obviously, RAID speeds are going to be crazy fast. So
yeah,
if you run them in RAID 0, I suppose.
Yeah, well, there's a little bit of, but the thing is, it's USB 3.0, so you're maxing that. You're maxing that out anyways, pretty much.
Yeah, there's no way you're gonna
hit
RAID 1 speeds,
or
RAID 0 speeds.
But still, I mean, the fact that you have the ability to do that, and you know, it's like I said, it's just a good good system that they have set up. And their MX series has been out for a while. They've had MX where you could do 2, 3.5-inch drives. So I like the 2.5-inch drives, especially since I have extra SSDs laying around. You know, and I have this set up now for all of my photos and everything, because about a year ago, I lost about a year of photos because a hard drive died and I couldn't
recover. Really?
Yeah.
That's the worst.
Yeah. So now this has all my photos on it. So now even if one of those drives do die, I have the data redundancy on the other drive. So
nice. So you set it up in RAID 1?
Yes.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah, and you're totally right, though. And it's odd to think, but we do have like these solid state drives. As you upgrade, the old ones aren't really worth anything.
Yeah.
Because you can get a newer, bigger one, bigger capacity drive for brand new for like about the same price as like you could possibly sell a used one.
Yes.
So
Yeah, so that's the thing is like, you know, people, you know, had gotten those 120s or 240s and now they're, you know, upgrading to the 1 terabyte and there's no really resale value for those a lot of the time.
No, unfortunately.
Yeah, so it's just a great device that you can use to do this, and it's not big, so it's not going to take up a lot of space. You can easily take it with you, easy to set up. So yeah, I really like it.
Nice.
Solves a problem. Not solves a problem, but has a solution for something that I feel a lot of people are going to be running into. So.
Yeah. Really, I didn't expect to be very impressed with a hard drive enclosure, to be honest.
Yeah, I was like, cool. I was kind of really impressed with it. I really liked it. So. We'll move on from that to a really cool mobile gaming keyboard. And this is the Strike M from Mad Catz. And the biggest thing that I feel that they did is it's very, very hard to design a gaming keyboard that's made for mobile specifically. There's a lot of things you have to keep in mind, and the biggest thing is keeping it small, and this keyboard is tiny. But it's still extremely functional, and that's the thing I think they did perfectly was they made it small, but they made it functional. So the keys aren't mechanical. But they have that sort of mechanical feel in a small form factor, which I like. If they would have made it mechanical, there's no way it would have been this small.
No, just you need way more space.
Yeah, so it's extremely, extremely small. It's a Bluetooth wireless, so it's going to work with any Bluetooth device off the bat. It's really easy to set up. But typing on it and gaming on it is actually pretty easy. I actually wrote almost the entire review for it on the keyboard itself. It's just, once you get used to how small it is, the keys are very easy to use, very comfortable as well. I played some games on it. Again, once you get used to it, very easy. It has a oversized spacebar, which I like. If you're playing like an FPS or doing a lot of jumping or something like that, you have that in there.
And easily tag that.
Yeah. It's just, I think they did it the way that you should. I know a lot of people have complained that it's not mechanical or something like that, but that's just impossible in this form factor. But they've added some cool stuff. So you have multimedia keys, you know, play pause, back and forward. You have a volume slider as well. So if you are playing a game or you're playing something, especially on a tablet, you don't actually have to physically touch the tablet to increase the volume. You can just do it on the keyboard yourself. It has this little fingerprint sensor or finger sensor that actually acts as a mouse. So say you're using this with like an Android console or something, and you want to go through menus easily. It basically gives you a mouse, which is nice. So you have that on there.
Is that in the upper right hand corner?
Yes.
So that just scrolls up and down?
No, it's a full mouse. You can move it.
Oh, really? It rolls every direction?
Yeah.
Oh, nice. And then it obviously has a left and right click.
Yeah, it has left and right click. It's really cool. Once you get used to using it, it actually works quite well. So if you're somebody who's may want a mouse and you're thinking about getting both a keyboard and a mouse, it solves that problem. You know, it works really well. This is wireless. It's rechargeable up to 30 hours on a full charge, so you shouldn't have a problem. Say like on a long flight or something like that. That's pretty impressive. Yeah, you'll be good on there as well. It's really cool. I really liked it. I didn't think I would, just because of the form factor and how small it is, But a lot of people who are naysayers on this product actually, if you can buy it with the idea that you're going to return it and then actually use it, and you probably won't return it.
Nice.
Just because it works really well. This is going to be in my bag at all times now, because I do like to use my tablet for writing, because then I don't have as all these distractions. So it's really great. And it comes with a nice little traveling bag, and it comes with a stand for your tablet. Which is a couple, you know, nice little add-ons there as well.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's just really great. Like I said, Mad Catz always seems to impress me. You look at some of their products, and you're like, oh my god, that's stupid, or you know, it looks tacky or something like that, but then when you actually use it, it's extremely functional. I think, again, Mad Catz did the best that they could with the form factor and having features both for mobile users and features for gamers at the same time. So yeah, I really like it.
Yeah, I wouldn't have expected to hear that good of a result out of a keyboard that's that small, but it's awesome.
Yeah, like I said, it's just when you think about what it's designed for, they hit the nail on the head perfectly. So yeah, really, really liked it. The only downfall, it is $100. That can be expensive if, you know.
Yeah, it's pretty expensive for.
Yeah, but at the same time, you have to think you are getting essentially a keyboard and a mouse, so, you know.
Right. Yeah. Which is still sort of expensive, but I guess that's okay. I guess I would say you have to stop thinking about it in terms of, like, as a Bluetooth mobile device and more like just as a keyboard and mouse, right?
Yeah, and the thing is, too, you do get the carrying case, which is actually extremely nice, and the tablet stand, so there's a little bit of value add on there. You know, I think over time the price will go down, too, so.
Yeah, wait for it to be on sale, maybe.
Yeah, and a lot of the a lot of the mobile keyboards that you see use batteries. This does not, so.
Yeah.
So you don't have to worry about keep on buying batteries or something like that.
Probably edge the cost, so.
Yeah. But yeah, really liked it. Definitely would recommend it if you're looking for something like that.
Cool.
So now we will go on to the last review of the week, which was another great product. I think every product this week scored 9 out of 10 or higher.
Nice.
So this is the WD My Passport Ultra Metal Edition, which is a USB 3.0 portable hard drive. And WD makes a My Passport Ultra, but they sent us the metal edition, which has a metal casing, which looks amazing. It just looks awesome sitting on the desk. It's just really, really cool. And the My Passport series from WD has been around for forever, I feel. And it's just their portable USB 3.0 hard drive. Really fast speeds, USB 3.0 speeds. It comes with their WD software, too, which includes backup software, security software, and, like, hard drive diagnostics and stuff, which a lot of these hard drives don't come with any software. It's just a hard drive. So it's nice to have the backup so you can set backups. And the backup software allows you to back up to the cloud, too, which is nice. So, yeah, it's just a good hard drive. And, of course, being the metal edition, it just looks awesome, too. It's going to – and the metal's not only – it's going to protect your drive, too, so you have that. Just a good hard drive, and I really like it that they include the software, too. You know, I really can't say anything.
Another little feature to it.
Yeah, I can't say anything bad about it. Obviously, it runs on USB 3.0 power, so you don't need a power adapter or anything like that. Easily, you can put it in your pocket, or you can just throw it – in a bag or something like that. Just great little hard drive. Perfect for people on the go. Perfect for people who maybe have an ultrabook or something that they don't have a lot of hard drive space. This drive is available in 1 terabyte, 2 terabyte, and 3 terabyte versions. So, it's just a great drive, and definitely one I would recommend for anybody looking for an external hard drive in this smaller form factor. So yeah,
nice. I think that's good to have four good products.
Yeah, it was awesome kind of going through reviews this week and actually having a lot of really good products that were not only great to use but were like kind of fun to review and kind of change my mind on them too. Because you know when you get products in, you're like, oh, this is whatever.
Yeah, whether you want to or not, you have a preconceived notion of what to expect from it.
Yeah, so it was great to have products that kind of just surprised us. I'm sure that Silverstone cooler surprised you. And,
yeah, definitely. I was not looking forward to that one at all. Like, and it did surprisingly well.
Yeah, and all the products that that Vantech enclosure, I was like a hard drive enclosure. You know.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
It actually surprised me, and I had a lot of fun reviewing it. And same thing with the Mad Catz keyboard, and then the My Passport. I didn't expect it to look as good as it does. It just looked. It's like an awesome looking drive. And it's cool to just like have on the desk. Like I went to the coffee shop yesterday and had that hard drive and it was just like sitting there and it looked pretty cool on the desk.
It made you feel cool.
Yeah, it made me feel cool. So
look at my shiny new hard drive.
Yes. So yeah. We'll move on to news this week, and not a whole lot of news, but we have some cool stuff. Yeah. So first is, it's been reported that NVIDIA is...
Whoa. Missed something.
Oh, I totally did. I'm going all over the place here.
You got to wake up.
I know, man.
With it. It's Friday.
So it is Friday. So that means we have Case Mod Friday, which is a section of the site where we cover a case mod or build that's been completed in the community. And this one, I have to say, is one of my favorites. And I don't know why I missed it or why I would skip over it. So this one is called Origami, and it's done by a modder called Metallic Acid, who we featured his builds before. And it's done in the Inwin S frame, and I have to say, it's the best S frame build that I've seen to date.
Hands down, this is better than any S frame I've ever seen anywhere, including CES builds, anything, any website.
It's just
it's astonishingly well built.
Yeah.
The color palette is fantastic, and it's just so professional looking. This is like factory produced, essentially.
Yeah, this is. I saw this and I was like, "Yep, this is going on Case Mod Friday."
Yeah. So it's the S frame is a silver version of the S frame, first of all, and he then changed pretty much everything to a gray or silver accent on it, and threw in one heck of a water cooling setup as well.
Yeah, the case was actually custom painted by a car dealership or company that does car
paint?
Car paint.
Okay.
And it's just
it looks like it.
Yeah, it's amazing. All of the water cooling is just done perfectly. Again, you said the color palette is just like perfect. Like it fits everything perfect.
It's just so elegant. That's what it is.
Yeah, it's just amazing. Amazing.
Yeah, it's like ultra modern and elegant. It's not like the water cooling's not. It's really, really well done. He did stainless hard or rigid tubing, so stainless steel tubing, which is actually not the easiest thing to work with in the world, and it looks fantastic. But it's just a dual GPU and a CPU, so it's not like it's anything crazy. But it's so clean.
Yeah,
the whole thing is just so clean.
It's done perfectly.
Horizontally mounted reservoir, tube reservoir in the bottom, Bits Power fittings, Bits Power blocks.
Yeah, I think all the water cooling is Bits Power for the most part. It's just a great. You guys have to see the pictures.
I'm kind of struggling to really describe it, but
yeah, I would just go because once I saw this, I was like, wow, this is amazing, and I'm sure you guys will too. So definitely go check it out. It's the first one on our Case Mod Friday section. And I would say it's my favorite one so far. We've only done one other one this year, so that doesn't really count. But
yeah, this might be my favorite one we featured.
It's one of the top ones, I would say.
Yeah.
It's
a different. Okay, so there's crazy water cooling builds, you know, and there's elegant air cooled builds, and then there's like these builds like this, which are just so like they're like art pieces, right? That's what this is. It's like art.
It's amazing. So definitely go check it out. And hats off to Metallic Acid because this is just a great, great build. Yeah. I'm sure Inwin is definitely happy about this.
Yeah.
For sure. So, we have a whole section of Case Mod Friday builds. If you're looking and you just want to look at builds, I've spent days looking at builds just because they're just so awesome. It's great to see what people do. So, we have a section on the site called Case Mod Friday. You can definitely check it out. It has a ton of builds. I think we've been doing this for 2 years?
Maybe more, way more.
Really?
Well, maybe not way more, but like one of my builds is features, and I haven't done a custom build in a while. So
yeah, so we've been doing this for a while. So if you want to get some ideas of what you can do, or just want to check out some amazing builds, definitely check out Case Mod Friday. And now we will move on to news, which I was kind of jumping the gun there.
Yeah, it's okay.
This
is good. So
this is really good news. So
yeah,
it's been reported that in April at NVIDIA's GPU Technology Conference, we will actually see the biggest GPU NVIDIA has ever made, and it will be the successor to the Titan X. So it's likely, we think it's going to be called the Titan X2, and it's actually going to feature HBM2 from scaling to 16 to 32 gigabytes of HBM2 with 1 terabyte a second of memory bandwidth, which is like out of control.
It's pretty awesome. And this actually comes sooner than I would have thought we would have seen anything with HBM2. I thought we were gonna be a little ways out, but April sounds good to me.
Yeah. I mean, we might just see it there. It might not be released. They might just show it. NVIDIA likes to do their kind of, here's something really awesome, and then you have to wait a while to see it.
They do that.
But that's just what the rumors are right now. It would be exciting to see that. I know a lot of people are waiting for sort of like a successor to the Titan X, so that's kind of...
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, so it's really exciting. This is an exciting year for graphics cards. Obviously, with HBM2 being used by both sides.
You got Pascal coming. That's going to be crazy.
Yeah, so you have a lot of cool stuff coming this year. I think it's going to be a big fight this year for graphics card supremacy. So it's going to be a fun year, I think. So definitely this will kick off the year with the big announcements. So definitely stay tuned for that. Obviously, we'll be covering NVIDIA's GPU Technology Conference, so definitely stay tuned for that.
So question. I was on another thread on a Facebook page, and we were talking about they've like kind of said that HBM2 will be on Titan, and that's it.
I would say HBM2... will be on, from what we've heard, so like the successor to the 970 and 980 will be GDDR5X, and the 980 Ti will be HBM2.
See, and I'm disappointed by that.
I am too, but it's kind of expected, right?
I guess. I feel like it's NVIDIA taking advantage of the fact that AMD isn't a serious competitor. And so they're just... obviously, they invested in GDDR5X, right? So they have to do something with it. But I would have expected that to be used on 970 and below, right? HBM2 isn't going to be scarce. Samsung is producing it. It's going to be available. Why not put it on... Like, the 980 was always the flagship card, right? Don't try to tell me the 980 at $600 is not a high-end card, right?
Yeah, I get what you're saying.
So that's annoying to me that, and I suppose, I love NVIDIA, but they do this with their technology, right? They price it out of, like, the market for people so that you have to be buying, like, a $1,000 GPU is sort of ridiculous. I've paid it, but it's sort of ridiculous.
Yeah, I think that, again, they don't see the threat there from AMD, so they're kind of...
Exactly. Yeah. So they can just do it.
Yeah.
I would say, like, it's not their, like, it's not a tech they're launching either. Like, HBM was launched by AMD last year. We know that with Fury X. So, like, it's not like it's a new thing. It's just the next version of HBM. So,
yeah, I mean, who knows? We could be wrong, right?
Could be, hopefully.
Yeah. But according to a lot of the rumors and what we've been hearing, is that the Titan X and 980 T, or the successor to the Titan X and successor to the 980 Ti. Will be the only two cards based on HBM2 from NVIDIA. But we could be wrong. We don't know.
I guess, to me, I'm just thinking, like, HBM2 with the memory, with that speed of memory, right, it's just, like, it's perfect for VR.
Yes.
But you're not going to be able to get into it unless you can afford, like, to throw at least about $1,000 at a GPU. And that's just not making it accessible, which is going to lead to it being less successful.
Yes.
In my opinion. So that's just, I don't want to see VR, like, suffer at the hand of NVIDIA not making cards affordable.
I totally understand where you're coming from. And I, like, it's, the thing is, it's just, we see this and it's very upsetting, you know, because you hear, you know, we've been covering HBM2 since, you know.
Since they mentioned it.
You know, we're so excited to see it on these cards, and a lot of people are waiting for these cards because, like, I want an HBM2 card. You know,
exactly.
And then it comes out that the only card that they can, well, initially the only HBM2 card will be a Titan X, you know, type card that's $1,000, and they're like, oh well,
yeah.
It's very upsetting. I would hope that we're wrong, mm-hmm. but I feel that we're right.
Yeah, which. Like, I think that the expectation was that HBM2 is the new memory standard, right?
That's what I think
the very next generation.
Yeah, and I think that a lot of people think that because NVIDIA did wait till the second generation.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
And you know, a lot of people are thinking that, okay, second generation, you know, let's...
It's not like a test tech anymore, right? Like, it's well established at this point.
Yes.
So, roll it. Yeah, I hope we're totally wrong, but got an inkling that we're probably right.
Yeah, which is kind of disappointing. But we will just see how it goes. And obviously, when we know things for sure, we'll definitely let you guys know.
Absolutely.
So, we'll move on from NVIDIA, and we'll go over to Asus, who released a really interesting motherboard. They released this week their 970 Pro Gaming Aura, which is a Socket AM3 Plus motherboard. And they claim, which I don't think, because there's a lot of boards based on this that came out, but this week. But it is one of the first motherboards for the AMD 970 Plus SB950 chipset, which is brand new. So what's cool about it is, you know, if you're an AMD user, this is actually a pretty nice board. It has the Aura lighting. It has a lot of cool things. It has Gigabit Ethernet, Asus LandGuard, Asus GameFirst Technologies, Supreme FX audio on there that has Sonic Radar 2 that helps you actually hear things in-game. It's a really nice board, I would say, for the AMD side. You don't really see this a lot. Mm-hmm. You know, when it comes to a nice AMD board, especially recently.
I think it's kind of ugly.
Yeah, but...
There's no I.O. shield. I still feel like it's getting, like... It's, like, the bottom of the barrel for AMD still. It's got a lot of cool features, and so I'll absolutely agree with you on that.
They've brought some features that you haven't seen on AMD...
Right.
And they brought a lot of their newer features together on it. So I think if you are an AMD user, I think you're excited about this board. It's one of the better ones to come out.
Yes, absolutely. I just find that it's still sad that, like, that's, like, it's not, like, overall, like, a great looking motherboard. It's just great for AMD. I think that's a little bit sad.
Yeah, I think because there hasn't been any type of real competition, and I think that, you know, even these chipsets from AMD don't have the features that the Intel chipsets do.
Right.
You know, and you have to add them on, and you have to do certain things. And the thing is, too, is that Asus isn't going to put a whole lot of time and energy into a board that's not going to sell as well as an Intel board.
Agreed.
You know, so that's the problem. And... You know, I would hope when we get to Zen and things like that that this changes.
Yeah, that could just be it. It's just a nice board for now.
Yeah, but I do like that they have added a lot of features, especially Asus specific features. The Supreme FX audio is amazing. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you've ever used it, but Supreme FX audio is really, really awesome. It has a lot of gaming features in the audio software itself, which is kind of nice. You know, and this has an M.2 slot on there, you know, USB 3.0. It's a nice, actually USB 3.1, I'm sorry. So it has a lot of those features that, you know, all of us Intel users were getting, and now the AMD people can get them too, which is kind of nice.
Yeah, it is good. Yeah. It's good for that.
So yeah, pretty cool board. Definitely like the Aura lighting and all that on there mm-hmm. too, so...
It's kind of strange to me that they went with such a strong red theme for the rest of the board, though. And then it's got the RGB LEDs.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to do. You know? Yeah.
It's just not very neutral to be able to use the other colors, I suppose, is what I'm saying.
Yeah. But yeah, it's a good board. Definitely if you're an AMD user, I'm sure you're excited about that. Or you're an AMD fan and you're looking to just put together a system right now, that's a board that you should definitely consider. So we'll move on to NZXT. And their big announcement this week is they finally announced officially their case that they showed us at CES that you saw hands-on. I didn't get to see it at CES. And it is the Manta, which you actually have
in sitting right behind me
in your possession right now. That's right. Which we will have a review for very soon. Right. And our video for it, which you actually shot a video, which is kind of surprising. So yeah, Derek has had this case for what?
2 days.
2 days, 3 days. We have shot a video for it, which will be up over the weekend, I assume. So definitely stay tuned for that. But this is their mini ITX case. Has a very cool design, and I mean, you've been hands-on with it, so I don't know if you want to talk about it a little bit more than...
Sure.
I'm just going on the pictures here.
Yeah. So the big thing about this case is that it has curved steel paneling on the whole exterior of it. And, like, that doesn't seem like a huge deal because we've seen curved shapes before, but it's always been plastic before, so that's NZXT's big thing on this is that it's steel, which is extremely... Evidently, it's extremely difficult to do, especially in a manufacturing setting. So this has actually been in design for 2 years now, and they finally have manufacturing right for it, so they've come out with the case. So it's just this really unique, like, I would say that you could almost say, like, bulging side panels, and it just creates a really, really unique look. The lines and curves and intake, air intakes on it are all reminiscent of the, which Ferrari is it? It's a... 4S480? Which one is it? Hold on one sec.
I'm not sure.
458. Ferrari 458.
Okay.
Yeah, so if you look at the top of the top panel, it's got the same curves on it that the roof of the 458 has.
Oh, cool.
Which is pretty cool because NZXT actually brought us out to a racetrack and let us drive really fast cars. So they actually had a 458 there, so it was really cool to see that alongside their new case.
That is pretty cool.
And it's actually, since I don't want to go into it too much, or do I?
Not too much. I want to know, how's the interior? What are we looking at here? I mean, is it that really nice NZX interior that's easy to build in and all that?
I haven't built in it yet, but it's extremely smart from what I've from taking a look at it and just doing the overview. Like all NZXT interiors, everything is well thought out. And like,
yeah,
I said, two years of design is going to get things right.
And is it water cooling ready?
I believe so. It's not, because I always look at things from water cooling perspective, obviously. And it's not the most water cooling friendly. It's definitely AIO friendly,
okay,
right?
Okay, yeah, that's a big thing, yeah.
You can do two 280s and a 120. So you can put a lot of stuff in this, but I think to do like a custom loop, which I'm pretty sure I'm going to try in it,
yeah,
you're going to have to be pretty creative and possibly have some experience in order to make it work.
Gotcha.
But it's extremely smart, honestly. The rest of it is it's extremely smart. Lots of places where it will cover up your cables and stuff,
nice.
Which is one of the hardest things to do in a small form factor case is hide your cables. So
nice.
This should look really – this should be easy to build a small form factor build in and still have it look fantastic.
Great. I really like it. I didn't get to see it at CES. I had glanced through the video that you sent me. I haven't really taken a look at it yet, but it does look like a great case. And I think that's the form factor that NZXT has been missing.
It is. This is their first small form factor case.
Yeah, because, you know, NZXT for the past couple years, for the most part, has dominated. Everybody I know had the everybody had the Phantom.
Uh-huh.
Everybody had a Phantom.
That was my first case that I modded.
Yeah, and then everybody had what was the I can't think of the case, but
the oh shoot,
yeah,
A10?
No,
the Switch.
No, everybody did have a Switch too.
Yeah.
It was like every time NZXT came out with a case, like everybody had one.
Absolutely.
You know, so, like, there's the Phantoms, and then, like, the H440 now, like, everybody has that.
Yeah.
Like, everybody now has an H440, and I love that case. That case is one of my favorite cases, which I actually reviewed. It's a great case. You know, and now they've kind of sort of dominated that mid tower, and mm-hmm. now they move down and see if they can do it on a smaller level. So it'll be interesting to see your review, which we'll hopefully have out soon, and we can definitely give you the kind of sort of in depth look at it. But definitely stay tuned for our video on this case, which will come out this weekend, probably maybe later today if I get the editing done.
Awesome. I absolutely look forward to that. Yes. You know, and the thing is, like you were saying, they've dominated the mid tower market. So, like, which is a pretty, would you say it's easy because you can just easily fit features into it? Smart and you can like configure a case correctly, it's not as difficult as small form factor.
Yeah, but I think that NZXT did a lot of things right when they, you know, especially when it came to the Phantoms and things like. You know, I remember they came out with, like, the Phantom 820, and then, like, literally a couple months later, they came out with, like, the 6-something or whatever, and the interior was completely different. They, like, completely redesigned the interior to make it better for the user. Yeah. So I think they did things like that, and that's why they have such a great fan base, is because they put together things for builders, and they've changed it, and they've made things better. You know, I think that because anybody can, look at Antec, right?
Yeah.
They dominated for how long? And now I don't know a single person that owns an Antec case.
Right.
You know, because the cases that they have are just so dated. You look inside and you're like, what is this? Like, I look at cases now, and if they're not a $50 to $60 case, if they're like a $100 case, and you look inside and you don't, and it looks like every other case that you've seen for the past 10 years, you're like, what? Why is this $100?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I can see that.
You know, and that's,
I guess my point was more like, can they pull off the same well thought out highly functional interior in the smaller form factor, because it seems like just the size of a mid tower would make it easier.
Yeah, I think they can. I mean, we've seen it, like the Fantex case, the mini ITX is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And you reviewed it, so did I, right?
Right, exactly.
We both did. I did the special edition, you did the normal one, and the way that they designed that case for small form factor is amazing. Currently, that would be one of my favorite small form factor cases to recommend to somebody.
Yeah, I mean, it's on my desk right next to me running this right now.
Yeah, so, you know, that's the thing. It's you can do it.
I mean, do you think NZXT, after having done so many mid-tower cases and having that luxury of the space, fit all those features, you think they got it?
I think with their cases, as NZXT went along, they listened to the community, they listened to the feedback, and they know what people want, right? They have a great community now. They know what people want. They know what people want in the small form factor. I'm sure they've gone out to LAN parties, and they've gone out to places, and they've asked users, and they've got this feedback. So I'm sure internally it's set up to what you want it to do. You know what I mean? It's set up to be easy to build. And it would blow my mind if you started your install and, like, there was things that were completely wrong. You know, just knowing NZXT's track record and their ability to change things, and this has been 2 years in development, you know. So yeah.
I agree. I was just curious what your opinion was.
Yeah, I think that NZXT has their kind of mojo, and they know what they're doing, and it's shown on all their cases that I've seen recently. So yeah, I'm excited. Cool. I'm excited for your review.
I'm actually excited. The only thing I'm not excited for is tearing down my current rig to build it into this one. But that's just another thing altogether.
Yeah, it's always the worst, right?
Yep.
So yeah, that was the case announcement. And talking about Antec, which is weird that I mentioned them because I didn't even realize, but they announced 2 new CPU coolers, all-in-one liquid coolers, and these are the Cooler H2O H600 Pro and the Cooler H2O H1200 Pro. So one is a 240, one is a 120.
Yep.
And all-in-one, I believe these are OEM through Ace Tech, I think. They just, by the way they look, I have no clue that if they are or not. They completely go away from the normal design of Antec's previous ones, which I actually like, because I from what I, we actually never tested this, but from what I know, they didn't perform that well.
No.
I'm
actually hoping we can get these.
Yeah, so we're going to try to get these into review. But yeah, these look really good. They look really well done. You know,
I can't say that, like, I like the radiator. The radiator does it for me. The pump doesn't do it, and the tubing is horrible. But they look like they're going to work.
Yeah.
Right?
So that's the thing. I think that, you know, maybe Antec was designing most of the older ones in-house or something. Who knows? And maybe they've gone with an OEM like Asetek, and this is their first, you know, their first one where they want to push it out there and see what it can do. So, yeah, excited. Interesting these weren't announced at CES.
I didn't go to Antec. You did. They didn't have them?
I didn't go to Antec.
Oh, you didn't?
Nope.
Oh, well, we didn't. I guess we didn't go to Antec.
Yeah, but nobody went to Antec, but...
Oops.
Yeah, but they didn't... This wasn't announced at CES, which sort of at the same time makes sense because so much stuff gets announced, it kind of everything kind of gets lost in the mix.
Yeah.
So it'd be interesting to see how these do. You know, talking about Antec, it just seems like everything is so... All of their products come out too late, or it's just not. It's just
in recent years. It's like, oh, also Antec has one.
Yeah, it's just like it's been dated. They haven't, you know, nothing's really blown our minds. So it'd be interesting to see how these do. It'd be great for them to kind of take a hold of some market. You know,
it looks like it has the pump has a huge copper base, so that's a really good sign. And the radiator just looks really beefy, so.
Yeah, so we'll try to get some of these into review and see what they do.
Hopefully.
So, yeah. Excited for that. Talking about cases and stuff, Cooler Master has announced their Case Mod World Series 2016. So I think this is the second or third year that they've done it.
I'm not sure.
And it is their pretty much their case modding competition. Mm-hmm. And there is $30,000 in cash and prizes up for grabs, which is pretty cool.
That's pretty exciting.
Yeah. So definitely check out the Case Mod World Series 2016 page. It's mod.coolermaster.com. And you can see all of the cool stuff. You can see all of the people, what they're working on. If you want to follow their builds, you can see, you know, the profiles of the modders. Where you can vote, I think, or, you know,
yeah,
things.
In the past, it was a public voting thing, wasn't it?
Yeah, there are judges, but at the same time, I think there's going to be, like, a user vote or something, too, in there. There's a lot of cool stuff. It's one of the biggest events for Cooler Master throughout the year, and it looks like they really turned it up this year by giving away up to, like I said, $30,000 in cash and prizes. A lot of great sponsors on there too. Avexer, Dremel, GeForce, OZZ, and Asus are the sponsors. So there'll be a lot of cool stuff going on with this. We'll definitely be featuring some builds from it. I know last year we featured quite a lot of builds from the Case Mod World Series. So this is one of the better ones.
What I was going to say. This gives us some really, really unique looking cases.
Yeah.
Like some of my favorites from the past year came from this competition.
Yeah, so it's really cool. And it's great that Cooler Master is doing this. I think a lot, you know, Thermaltake has theirs, MSI has theirs, and I don't know if Gigabyte does or not. I know Gigabyte usually does the overclocking competitions.
Yeah, they're bigger into those, you think?
Yeah, but MSI has theirs going on, which I'm not really impressed with, to be honest. The reason I'm not impressed with it is because MSI decided to, they like have a theme for your build, like they pick the theme, and the theme is black and white, which makes for very boring builds.
As much as I like Stormtrooper designs, I agree.
Yeah, though the thing is that they wanted to match their Krait series motherboard, which makes sense for them from a marketing perspective and all that, but I looked at the builds from MSI, and I wasn't really impressed with.
They probably all look the same.
Yeah, they look similar. So I'm not, we have this one going on. We have the Thermaltake one going on as well. So a lot of cool stuff. A lot of cool stuff for modders.
It's great for the modders. It's great that there's something you can actually do, right?
Yes.
So, like, It's kind of like, it's just right along with esports. It's our time, right?
Yeah, if you're into modding and want to get into this kind of stuff, it's very easy to get recognized too, because a lot of these builds that we featured, a lot of people are like, oh, this is my first build. You know, yeah. And you... Yeah. You know, the way it would work, I would say, for like a first-time modder is, you know, obviously your first build, you're putting out the money for the parts or something like that. Then you talk about a concept for your next build, and maybe some sponsors jump on, so maybe you'll get like a free processor or a free graphics card and maybe some water cooling gear, and then you build that one. And then, you know, obviously you're probably selling these after you're done or whatever. And, you know, the next one, maybe you get contacted by one of these companies. Hey, we need a build for CES. We need a build for Computex. We need a build for PAX. And, you know, you get contracted to do this, and this becomes like a job for you.
Like you said, it's really not that – I mean, you need talent. You absolutely need talent.
Yeah.
But like you said, it's not like other things where, like, it's hard to get into, where you got to know somebody or something. Yeah. You start posting on forums, and people will see it.
Yeah, all of the reps for all these companies are on the big forums.
They are.
You know, and all the people that – if you use somebody's product in your build and they notice it, they'll post it on their social media.
They absolutely will.
Yeah, you see it go around. And it's great to see some of these guys who are newer in the scene, right, who have done maybe two or three builds, who are like really – you know, they haven't been around that long, and they're really making a name for themselves, and they're making a business out of it too. It's just really cool.
It is. It's absolutely cool. It kind of reminds me of like the car modding scene of like the early 2000s.
Yeah.
Right. Like, that blew up. That kind of died down, and I feel like that's the time. It's our time in the PC thing now.
Yeah, and I think that the way the market is now, you know, I don't think it's going to go away anytime soon either.
No.
So yeah, it's really cool. Definitely something to get into if you're artistic and you like doing builds and you just even want to try it. And even if you don't want to go to the point where you're getting sponsored, just to build your own system and maybe do a custom water cooling loop and maybe paint your case or something. It's a great experience too, because I've even done that. I remember getting the old ass Antec beige box and cutting a hole in it and making my own case window and things like that I did years ago, you know. It's a great experience, and it teaches you things along the way. So
sure does.
Yeah. So definitely check out the Cooler Master Case Mod World Series and the other ones going on as well. I'm sure you can just search for them on Google. You'll easily find them.
Yep.
So we'll talk about some monitors, which I'm pretty excited about. Samsung is apparently working on two new monitors, and these are high-speed ultra-wides. So we haven't seen a whole lot of super high-speed ultra-wide monitors.
No.
These will be one of the first to come out to take advantage of DisplayPort 1.3. So you'll have a 144 hertz refresh rate on a 4K – or not 4K.
No.
It's, yeah.
1440p
resolution here, ultra wide resolution. That's just awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And Samsung makes some of the best displays out there.
Yeah,
they do. Pretty excited about this. And these displays might use adaptive sync features like AMD FreeSync on there too. So these are likely to come out later in the year. But it's just excited to get, you know, some of this new stuff is going to be coming out. If you're a monitor person, you're definitely excited about this.
So. Yeah. Every time we see one of these new ultra-wides, I feel like I need it, but I never actually do it.
Yeah, I never get it either. I like my dual monitors. I don't know if I could do, like, one ultra-wide. I don't know.
I do. I like being able to, like, swing it over and snap it to, like, the full screen, right, quickly.
Yeah.
Whereas with a single monitor space, you're going to have to mess with, like, sizing and stuff, so...
Yeah, it's just like, I don't want to deal with that. Yeah. and then I don't want to put out, like, the $500-$600 for a new monitor either.
That's probably why I don't have one.
Yeah, so...
My 1440p works pretty good, so...
Yeah. So, but yeah, I'm excited to see these come out. A lot of cool stuff will be coming out as we get into Computex time, so I'm pretty excited about that.
Yeah.
There was a little prank going around this week. I believe it's still live. I haven't really checked it because I don't want to crash my computer.
Try it.
I don't think
try it, Bob.
Yeah, right now.
Navigate to it with your phone. I don't have an Apple device, so I can't try it.
But you can. It works with any device because it just overloads the memory.
I thought that it didn't actually crash Android, though.
It might. It all depends on what device you have. But okay. Somebody created a website called CrashSafari.com, and basically you'd send a link to your friends, and it would, in most cases, crash Safari, obviously, and then at the same time, it would restart. It would restart right. Your Apple device.
The phone restarts.
Yeah.
See, that's what I thought was specific to Apple as a safety feature. The device just restarted.
Yeah, I think that on Android, it definitely heated up the device, which is
normal though.
Yeah. So the way the website works is, the site includes a piece of code, piece of JavaScript that calls HTML5 history API over 1,000 times in a loop. So this obviously just kills memory as it goes along, and any device as you're using up all your memory, it's gonna cause it to have a fault at some point.
Right.
You know, so it had been working. Obviously, works to crash devices on iOS, but it also said it worked on Chrome. And it works. It significantly heats up Android devices and other devices running Chrome. So it's a fun little thing, especially if you use a service to mask the actual URL, like a URL shortener, and you send it to a friend. It becomes something.
Hey, click this.
Yeah. Hey, check this out, and then you know, send it to them a text message through their iPhone. Yeah. So that was kind of going around this week. It was kind of funny. It still should work. I believe.
I don't see why it wouldn't. Apple, it's not malicious. So.
Yeah, Apple. It's not malicious or anything like that. It's not going to break your device. It. There's nothing. There's no security risk in it. It's just something fun. So don't expect any response or it to be blocked or anything like that via Apple.
It's essentially just reloading your page 1,000 times.
Yeah. So yeah, pretty funny.
Wait, is it 1,000 or is it 100,000?
It might be 100,000. Could be right.
Okay, I think because in the script it's 0 to 100,000.
Yeah.
So that's a lot of a lot of loads.
And that's in a loop too. It just loops that.
Yeah.
That's a little prank. It's fun to see stuff like that. It kind of just makes the world seem better because there's this like little because it's not malicious, right?
We
see all these malicious, you know, credit cards stolen, identity taken, and all this stuff, and then this is just something that here's an exploit. It's something fun. It's not going to destroy your device. It's not going to break anything. It's not going to steal your identity. It's not going to steal your money. It's just something fun that you can do. So I kind of like that.
Yeah, pranks are awesome.
Yes. So we'll move on to gaming news, and the big gaming news this week is The Division, which I believe it starts today. The beta starts today, I believe. There was a 1080p PC gameplay leaked at the beginning of this week, which is kind of interesting. That was before all the beta started. This was looked awesome, looked great, but the video is now taken down, which is no surprise.
Yeah, it looks like a black screen now.
Yes, but it was 5 minutes of video, which I watched the entire thing, and it looked awesome. Division is one of the most anticipated games to come out in this early part of the year. It's been in development for 3 years, so and it comes out on March 8th, but the beta, I believe, starts today, which I'll be getting on.
Cool.
I already have it preloaded, which our second Division story this week is that the preload was available for all platforms this week. So if you don't have it, if you've got a beta code, you can load up Uplay on PC, and it's right in your games. You just load it up, and you can preload. So when the beta officially starts, you don't have to wait to download it, because the download's, I think, 22 gigs or 26 gigs for the beta. So if you're on a slow connection, that could take a long time, and that takes up time to actually play. And the beta starts today. I don't know what time today, but it starts today, the 29th, and it'll go through the 31st. So if you're spending a few hours to download, that takes away from your gaming time.
So,
I will be playing this weekend.
Nice.
Which I'm pretty excited for, because, again, I've been wanting to play this game since it was announced. And now I'll get the chance. So I don't know if you got a beta code, but I did.
No, this is not a game that's been on my radar.
It should. It's gonna be a lot of fun playing. So be you know a lot of fun. I played Paragon last weekend with the beta test or the alpha test for Paragon, which was actually a lot of fun. So now this weekend I'll be playing The Division. So I'll let you guys know how I like it.
Way to be, Bob, contributing to the development of games.
Yes. So that is our news for the week. And coming next week, I didn't get it done this week because it's a lot of video heavy content. I really wanted to give you guys some good stuff. So next week I will for sure have the review of the Zotac Nen Steam Machine. Finishing up my gaming on it. It's a lot of fun. Cool. So definitely have that. And then I will have the Be Quiet Dark Power Pro 11 850-watt power supply. So this is Be Quiet's latest power supply in their Dark Power Pro series. The last one, previous one, was 10. This bumps up the efficiency to 80-plus platinum, right, which is where we see a lot of platinum power supplies come out. It's 850-watt version, semi-modular, has the Silent Wings 3 fan in there, too. So super quiet, just great performance. One of my favorite power supply lines. So definitely excited to test that out. And then we have a CPU cooler from Riven, I think that's how you say it. And I have no clue how to say this.
Oh, Riven?
Riven? Yeah.
I would say Riven.
But how do you say the name of the product?
Okinos.
I don't know.
Where are they from? I don't remember.
I don't know, but this is their new flagship CPU cooler. So, yeah.
It looks good for them.
Yeah, it's a dual tower cooler. It looks really great. I'm excited to test this. They're really excited for this cooler. And again, it is their flagship, so it should be their best performing cooler. I'm definitely excited to get this on a CPU this week and test it out. So super excited for that.
I'm kind of curious, too, because back when I started writing for ThinkComputers, I did the air coolers, and some of the first ones I did was some Rivens. So I'm curious to see how they always did pretty good.
Yeah, so they're not that well known. This one has great finish on it. It just looks really good. Hopefully, we'll have some good performance out of it, and it'll be one of our top coolers.
Yeah,
so definitely excited to get that on, and hopefully, it has an easy installation method. I'm really a stickler for that. So yeah. And then finally, I'll be taking a look at the Cougar 400K gaming keyboard, or 450K. I'm sorry. Gaming keyboard, and this is what they call a hybrid mechanical gaming keyboard. So
you have some mechanical, some push button,
I believe.
Okay.
So it's a hybrid mechanical switch, basically.
Oh, I see.
So it'd be interesting to see how that does. It's pretty cool because this has a splash-proof design, which means that you can kind of spill water on it and it won't break, which is kind of cool.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, how can it be mechanical at all if it's splash-proof? Because that's basically impossible.
Yeah, so it's part of this, like I said, it's this hybrid mechanical switch. So it's just interesting. It's cool to see all these companies come out with these different switch methods that mm-hmm. might be better, that might be worse, you don't know. So I'm interested. It'd be interesting to take it out. Check it out. It's a fully backlit. Their UIX software is amazing.
Yeah, I remember you saying that you really like their software.
Yes,
yeah,
so the software is really good. I'm not sure how in depth it will be on this keyboard, but I'm pretty excited for it. Be interesting to check out.
It's a good looking keyboard.
All of their keyboards have been amazing. They really impressed me when they started to come out with their keyboard and mouse lines because they just looked amazing.
Yeah.
I use a Cougar 600K as my main keyboard.
Okay.
So that should tell you how much I like them because I've reviewed pretty much every keyboard out there and I still use this one. Yeah. I always, you know, I test the ones out and then I always come back to this one. It has the 600K has the Cherry MX Blue switches, which I love.
Yeah.
And it's just a good solid keyboard, has the aluminum design. I really like it. So hopefully this one is just the same, and I really do like it as well.
I look forward to seeing what you say about this switch, because it's still essentially a dome switch.
Yeah, so I will definitely let you know. I don't know the price on this. Well, you know, definitely stay tuned to review for it.
You'll have to really mess with the ghosting to see what it does as far as it picking up your keys presses.
Yeah. Yes.
Because that's the dome thing, is that it just doesn't pick up all your keys presses.
So. Yeah, so we'll see how it does. Definitely excited for it, though. So we'll have some cool products next week, so definitely stay tuned for all of that. And yeah. It is the end of a podcast, which means, did we do anything fun this week? Did you do anything cool, or did you see anything cool?
Let's see. Yeah. I still have no GPU in my system, so I played zero games.
Yeah, I got some games.
Yeah, I gotta get some GPU.
Yeah.
I did watch The Man on High Castle, which is Amazon original.
I watched the first two episodes.
Did you? I was like, I'm not gonna watch this, and then I was browsing Amazon, and I'm like, I'm gonna watch this. And I hate the show. I watched the entire thing, and I hate it.
Like, the entire run of it?
The entire show is out, the first 10 episodes.
You watched all of them?
I watched them all last weekend, and because that's what I do. And it's like Lost, man. It gives you just enough where you're like, oh, this is going to be so cool. And it tells you just a little bit more. But then you sit at the end of it, you're like, it didn't tell me anything.
Yeah, that's why, like, I watched the first two episodes and then I was like, eh.
Yeah, don't.
Yeah.
Because, like, I had to keep watching, right?
Yeah.
Because I was into it, and I'm like, they're going to tell me something. And at the end of the final episode, I was just like, are you serious right now?
Yeah. Like,
so.
Yeah, like, I watched the first episode, and I was really intrigued, right?
Yeah. It's a really crazy concept.
It's based off a book, right?
It is, but yeah. I guess it's a bit tweaked from the book, but still, it's the same concept.
Yeah, and I thought, I really liked the concept of it, and I thought it was really cool, and then it just got, I don't know, this is that second episode, it just wasn't, I don't know.
It's a bit slow, too.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know why, but, like, I'm a history buff, for one thing, right? So, like, it kind of had me there.
Yeah, where, me too, like, that's why I was interested in it.
Yeah, I'm, like, drawing, and I'm, like, looking at the parallels and stuff, and there's some serious parallels between, if you're, like, into, like, politics and the world is dying, you're about to kill itself sort of deal, you know?
Yeah.
But, like, I just don't think you should bother anybody, like, unless, I think it's going to consistently just play a Lost on us, and just, it'll never tell us anything for real.
Like, yeah.
I couldn't have been more disappointed. I'm like, it's got to do something at the end. And it did, like, some cool stuff, but it was the same as the other episodes. Like, I just was like, I need to know more. You're not telling me anything.
Yeah. Well, that's a bummer.
Yeah, so, anyways, enough of Man on High Castle. What'd you do?
Well, I played Paragon.
Right.
Which I actually really enjoy. I'm not a fan of MOBAs.
Right.
I don't play League of Legends. I play League of Legends twice, I think, in my life.
You're not big on ganking people?
Yeah, I'm not. I don't play Dota, you know. But the thing that intrigued me about this game is it's not the above you crappy. You don't need a, you know, you need a decent computer to play this. The graphics are actually quite good.
Nice.
And it is a fun game. I played for a few hours, more than a few hours. I played for at least 4 hours.
Nice.
You know, and it's, you know, you learn your heroes, you know, different things, and as the game goes along, you're able to upgrade. As each match goes along, you're able to upgrade. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you start at, like, level zero, and as you kill people, you get XP, and then you level up, which gives you more health and more mana capacity, and then at the same time, it gives you your abilities. So you don't start with all your abilities, but as you level up, you get more abilities, and you're able to do more things. So nice. I got pretty proficient.
Is that throughout the match, or is that throughout your gameplay?
Throughout the match.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so it's not like somebody, from what I understand, I don't know. I mean, this is just how I played. But from what I understand is that everybody starts out equally, right?
Yeah.
And then as the match goes on, you gain XP, you get a higher level, and you
unlock new tiers.
You
and
unlock
stuff.
You unlock your abilities. Which was cool, which I liked. So, you know, it's not one thing where you can just run through and kill everybody. It just won't happen that way.
Gotcha.
You know? And I played three different heroes, and I liked the one I didn't like. But the other two I really did like. The one that I really played a lot of was, I think it was, was it a chick? It was, I think it was a girl. She's a ranged fighter with a bow and arrow. She was a lot of fun to play with.
Okay.
So yeah, I really did like it. Now I can see how it can get repetitive, as most MOBAs do, because you're just doing the same thing.
Yeah.
But I think that once, you know, I really liked it because the graphics were really, really good, and it kind of gave me that cool feel of everything, you know. And once you really learn the abilities and you're doing these like crazy moves and stuff, it is a lot of fun. So
okay,
you know,
the real staying power of those games is just the tactics, though, really.
Yeah. So I mean, I was playing by myself, you know, but if I was playing with a team and we had an, you know, I think I'd be, you could really get into it.
Yeah,
and again, sure. I just like it because it's not that crappy graphics that we see in all these other games. It's real graphics. Like, you need a real graphics card to play it.
Yeah,
which I like. So, and I believe Paragon will be free to play.
Okay.
Like most of the other MOBAs, so it will be fun to, you know, have that game that you can play at any time. Don't really have any cost incurred in it.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Buy new characters or whatnot.
Yeah.
Character packs and such.
Yeah. So. That was a lot of fun, and cool. Black Sails. Black Sails came back on season 3, and I love that show. It's probably one of my favorite shows ever, nice. Which you definitely need to get into.
Which I've seen episode 1 or 2 of season 1. Yeah. And I thought it was really good, and I just didn't continue with it. I don't even remember why.
It is so good. You know, so season 3 has started. It's a totally different outlook on things because of what happened at the end of season 2.
Oh,
so
boy.
It is, it's really great. It's one of those things that's like, you know, when I first started watching, I had all these episodes to watch, right?
Yeah.
And now I have to wait a week, and I'm just like, oh, is it Sunday night yet? I want to watch this show, you know? So it's good.
You know what those shows, like a Game of Thrones, right? I almost don't watch them throughout the season. I just wait till the end.
Yeah.
And then just get the whole box set.
Yeah,
so that I can satisfy my curiosity.
The two shows that I watch every week, which I believe the one just ended, which is Into the Badlands. I believe this episode 6 was like the end of the season. Or at least when I watched it last night, it seemed like it was the end of the season. I don't know if it is.
Yeah.
But that's one I was watching weekly, that's an amazing show. And I'll be watching Black Sails every week. Just, I love it. I love that time. That time period, I think, is very, very cool if you're a history person, too.
Yeah.
Because, you know, and this takes on, it takes on a lot of history things, too. So it correlates with a lot of what was going on at that time, which I like.
Nice.
So if you're a history buff, you'll definitely like it. So you definitely need to get into that.
Okay.
Did
you play the Assassin's Creed, the pirate one?
Yes.
Because I feel like that would be similar.
I loved Assassin's Creed for the fact that it drew on history, so yes.
Yeah, I enjoyed that. I just I didn't finish that game, though. Those are long games.
Yeah, that is, I would say for me, that's the best. That and Gears of War are the two best single-player games I've ever played.
Okay.
Because they have that great cinematic, you know,
feel to it.
Movie,
yeah.
Feel where you actually feel like, yeah, you're in it, you know.
What about Halo?
Never?
No?
Great multiplayer. Single player.
See,
story.
I love the single player.
Yeah. Gears of War is so much better.
It got me. I actually, I never played Gears.
You should play it.
I'd have to buy an Xbox, though.
No, you can play the first one on PC, I believe, now.
Oh, can you?
Yeah, I would look at it. It's probably cheap, too.
Maybe I should do that.
And just to play the single player, like, the way the story is told in that is so amazing.
Okay.
Yeah, that was, like I said, one of the best. And the story and the way it's done is just really great.
I know. It was so hugely popular. I don't know why at the time I didn't. I think, I was a PC player at the time, exclusively.
Okay.
So, yeah, I just never got on that.
Yeah, well, I think you can at least play the first and maybe the second one on PC, so definitely
okay.
Definitely check it out. And just to
put that on my long list.
Yeah, well, I mean, it should be really cheap right now. So if it's like $5 or $10, I would say up to $20.
It's worth it.
It's worth the single player on both games.
Let's see what Steam thinks. Do you think it's on Steam?
I don't believe. It might be on...
Well, let me just
I don't
Google
know
it then.
Yeah.
Gears 4 PC.
Yeah. So, but yeah, guys, this is pretty much the end of the podcast as Derek
just,
looks...
Just chatting. Just
yeah, just hanging out.
Wasting you.
But,
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, whoa. Whoa, $75 on Amazon.
That's not right. And that might be for, like, the whole thing.
Yeah.
Or whatever.
It just says Gears of War. All right, anyways.
Yeah, anyways, we will end the podcast here. As always, guys, we will have a show notes page that is everything that we talked about, even links to Man in the High Castle and Black Sails and all that kind of stuff, and Paragon, which I don't know when the next alpha test will be, but when it is, we'll definitely let you know. Definitely get on the Division. If you have a beta code or can try to get a beta code, it is this weekend, so definitely stay tuned for that if you're a gamer. That's what I'll be doing all weekend. But as always, if you go to iTunes, Think Computers, all one word, and on any other podcast service, you just find us, Think Computers, all one word. We appreciate you guys listening. Until next week, catch you guys later.